I don't know whether this capsule makes it more confusing. But I have tried to bring out only the steps of the argument. But if you have still any question, please tell me, then I can expound it further. You will see that there are mainly three steps in the argument. One is the perception of movement. The whole first page is nothing but perception of the movement. The first page. In our perception of movement, we have three steps. First, the perception of our egoistic consciousness, which regards itself to be the center of the whole movement. Second is the withdrawal from egoistic perception, in which we see the whole movement, in which even the highest magnitudes look like a petty swarm. Such a huge perception we are confronted with. Third step is to see that this vast movement is equal in everything, both quantitatively and quantitatively, whatever the differences there may be in the world, the energy which is at work is equal in everything. The energy that is needed in producing the weakness is the same energy that is needed for creating strength in the strong. This is the first argument, the nature of the vast movement which is equal in everything in the whole world. Now the second step of the argument is that pure reason asserts that this movement is subordinate to sthanu, to stability, something that is stable. And third step of the argument is that what the pure reason perceives is confirmed by the Vedantic experience, where we are told ekam eva advitiyam. There is one reality without the second, and it is entirely silent, quiet, without scar of division, pure absolute. These are the three steps of the argument. First, the perception of movement, then the pure reason saying that behind this movement there is a stable reality. And third argument is that this is also confirmed by the Vedantic experience. So that this table is not merely a figment of your reason, it is also confirmed by experience. Now, with regard to the second step, there is a complication. And it is that which really is the most difficult part of the chapter. How does pure reason perceive that behind the movement there is a stable? Now, in order to perceive this stable, there are three steps in the argument. The first step is to realize that this movement is of the nature of space and time. That's the first statement. This whole movement can be regarded as a vast movement of time and a vast extension of space. In these two words, the entire movement can be summarized. The movement is nothing but a vast extension of space and a vast movement of time. The second step of the argument is to say that the space and time are infinite. There is something like beginninglessness and endlessness. And this should not be difficult to perceive, because wherever you look, even physically, you find that beyond what you think is the horizon, there is still a further horizon that is in space. And you have no experience of any time when there was no time. It is whatever is the time, before that there was something, and after what you are experiencing there is something else. This is what is normally called the infinity of space and time. There can be many definitions of infinity, but one definition of infinity is that which is beginningless and that which is endless. The third step of the argument is that this beginningless and endless space and time are normally experienced by us to be successive in character. We have given the example of the worm crawling on the branch of a tree. And we had said that for the worm, it moves from point to point, and what it crosses is past, what it is crossing is the present, what it is going to cross is the future. And this is a successive movement. Both of space and time. Now there you will see that what is past is determined by this standpoint that you take. What is past to the worm is not past to us. When you look at the whole branch, all at once, at one glance, there is not that past and that future which the worm has got. So it's a psychological way of placing yourself at a particular point and look this way and say this is past, and look that way and you say that is future. The present is the movement which you call the dividing point. Where you stand is a dividing point. But actually it does not divide. It's only your psychological way of dividing. You stand there and you say this is past and that is future. To us who are outside that worm's consciousness, the entire branch is one present. Because you are putting your present somewhere else, not on that particular point where the worm is placed. So it is your psychological way, wherever you put yourself and stand yourself is your present moment. Then look this way it is past, look that way is future. But actually speaking, this successive movement implies a non-successive background. Otherwise you can't stand at a point. To be able to stand at a particular point, the branch itself should be a straight branch, not divided itself, so that you can stand at one point and say this is past and this is future. If the branch itself was divided, you could not have stood at the point of division at all, because there will be nothing there to stand on. Therefore, every successive movement implies a non-successive background on which you can, according to your needs, you can make that past and that future. That is why it is said that what we call successive time and space is a psychological way of dealing with a non-successive extension and non-successive duration. So successive time and successive space implies behind it a non-successive space and non-successive time. Now, if you want to describe that non-successive time and space, the only way in which you can describe is to say that space is all-containing point without magnitude and all-containing ever-new moment. There can't be two moments because it is non-successive, so there is no moment after moment, it's only one moment, but a moment which contains all those, all so-called moments. Therefore, behind successive movement of space and time, we have a non-successive space and time, which can be described respectively as all-containing point without magnitude and all-containing ever-new moment. But both of them are extensions. Although not successive, although they are non-successive, but both are extensions.